already introduced and described midline AGS. Let me just repeat that they are sources with the jet pointed away from the observer, and at their order, they can be considered the parent population of PLR and PET spectrum radio waves, even if this morning we have learned that this framework has to be removed. You know, and basically, midline AGNs are formed by FR2s and FR1s and you know better than me the radio classification. While in the optical band, they are classified into broadline radio galaxies and narrow line radio galaxies, if they have broad permitted lines or narrow forbidden lines. In 1997, Jackson and Rowling divided also narrow line radio galaxies into high excitation galaxies that can have exclusively FR2 morphology, and low excitation galaxies that have can have both FR1 and FR2 morphology. We know lots of information about FR1 and FR2 now. However, the origin of the dichotomy is still unclear. Several scenarios have been proposed, for example, the ambient medium in which the jets interact, or different nuclear intrinsic properties of the accretion of the jets. And Ghitellini and Gelotti in 2001 proposed that the accretion process itself might be a key ingredient that drives the dichotomic behavior of these sources. In fact, we know that probably FR1s and FR2s have different accretion regimes. In particular, from the optical observation indicates that they have different accretion modes. For example, in this plot, that is from Chiaverdi and collaborators of 2002, they plot the optical luminosity as a function of the radio luminosity and found that for FR1s, luminosity are strictly correlated. This means that both the emissions have a similar origin, that is the non-thermal synchrotron emission from the base of the jet. While FR2s have an excess in the optical luminosity that is probably related to the accretion heat. Moreover, in the HST images of FR1s, there is no indication of nuclear absorption, and so the weakness of the optical lines that is observed has not to be ascribed to obscuration. This scenario is also supported by the infrared observations, in particular this is the work of Bali in 2010, the near-infrared nuclear emission of FR1 again has a non-thermal origin, while in FR2 we have an excess of near-infrared emission that is probably related to a hot nuclear dust, the TOMS. This bimodality of the accretion rate was also suggested by Marchettini, who found that FR1s are located in the low accretion region of the drop, and while FR2s and quasars have high accretion rate. What we have done is to study the X-ray spectral properties of the sample of misaligned AGNs observed by LAP in 15 months of observation and presented in this work of Abbott 2010. Here are the sources we have analyzed, except for CKS0943, because the association is not so sure with this source. And we have also added to these sources for Maxe and Pictoray from the 24 month data. However, Pictoray is not present in the 2 lakh catalog, and there is also an upper limit of the flux presented in the work of catalog. So at the end, we have 12 sources, 8 FR1 and 4 FR2. I don't have the time to present the analysis of all these sources, so I will give you just three examples. The first one is an FR1 and it is 6251. Paola has already explained the source that is present in the work of Julia. And this is the radio image at 327 MHz, just to give you an idea of how this source is extended to megapascals. This is the gender image. Gender image in the band 2070. Don't look at this structure, the dark spurious structure produced by the CCD. And this is the jet, the observed in the X-ray band. It is extended 8 kilopascals. So, also in the X-ray band, we are dealing with the distances very with distances very high with respect to the region where probably the gamma rays are emitted. As you can see in this image, the source has piled up, so we couldn't perform the spectral analysis, and we used the SMM and the Swiss telescope. The X-ray spectrum is typical of an FL1 radio galaxy with a spectral index of the order of 1.9 and a thermal component that often is present in the sources. You can see there. There is no indication of an iron P-alpha line that is one of the main signatures of an efficient accretion system. And also we found an X-ray variability over time scale of the S. The other source is the 3120, that is an FR2. And you have already seen this picture by Ivo Paola. We were lucky because Suzaku observed the source just before the gamma ray emission. And so the observation occurs here when the source is the minimum of its red light. And this is the iron P alpha line. So we have the signature of an efficient accretion. This line is also present in the observation of February 2009. This time the flux is three times higher with respect to the Suzaku observation, so the source is here. And this is the other line from the upper limit on the width of the line. We can estimate a region of production of this line within the Brodmann region. And this is in agreement with what Chatterjee found on the base of time lag consideration. Just to make a comparison with the work of Chatterjee, we put our points over this plot, that is the zero lag correlation diagram that represents the photon index and the flux of the iron line as a function of the X-ray flux. As you can see, I want to put your attention on this soft panel. As you can see, the flux of the iron line increases as the flux, the Suzaku flux increases. So this means that the line follows the continuum. And the last example is 3120. That is a peculiar source. It is an FL1, but with a powerful accretion disk. This is the count map and the last curve from the gamma ray observation. And this is the SMM spectrum. This is in reality the residuals. And as you can see, it has a very prominent iron alpha line plus an ionized line that is probably a blend of iron 26 plus iron beta. This line, again, as you can see from the width, is probably produced in the Brodmann region. So, again, the line is an indicator of the efficiency of this source. This can be seen also in the diagram of the linear gelosity that I've shown at the beginning of this talk. If we put the observables of 5120 in this plot, it falls well within the region of the FR2s. And another exercise that we have made is if we plot for the sources of only the mass samples, the black hole mass as a function of the luminosity, here are the FR1, here are the FR2s, and 3120 again falls in the region of the FR2s. So, this is just a table that summarizes what we have found from the X-ray analysis. In particular, two are the main points. The first one, FR1s generally do not show the iron line, so the accretion is probably inefficient, and the spectral index in the X-ray band are steeper than FR2, that have lesser spectral indices, and they show the iron line that is often produced in the progressor. So we have two different aperture regimes, and this bimodality can be seen also if we plot the sources as a function of the M dot. This plot recalls that of Marchesini that performed over a huge sample of 3D sources. But again, FR1s are in this region where the Eddington ratio is of the order of 10 to the minus 3, so again inefficient accretion, while FR2s are here. And this bimodality is probably driven by the accretion itself, since we do not find any difference in the decoded mass between the FR1 and the FR2 of our sample. So, just summarizing what we know about FR1 and FR2. The optical observation tell us that the FR1s have inefficient accretion from non-thermal, the emission probably optical of non-thermal spectral origin, and they lack the adaptive origin. Near infrared observations support this scenario, as well as our X-ray observations. In particular, we have seen that in FR2s, FR1s generally lack the iron line, while FR2s have the iron line that is often originating in the Broglie region. So, this picture fits well with the framework in which different accretion regimes are linked to different nuclear environments. In particular, the Broglie region that in FR2 seems to be a very active zone, while this is not true for FR1. And this can explain, but at zero order, that why in FR2s the external quantum processes are dominant, because we have plenty of seed photons and the ambient is very rich. While in FR1s, where there is a paucity of six photons, the synchrotron and constant processes are favored. And this is my summary. I've already described that FR1s are on average less absorbed than FR2s and have deeper spectral indices. The iron line I've already said, and this is indication towards the inefficient accretion regime in FR1 and efficient in FR2. So, and that's it. Thank you.
Okay, any questions? You said you saw the iron line varying continuum. Were you subtracting off the continuum each time that you saw how much the iron line was varying, or are you just sort of looking at the whole thing?
So you're saying if I've subtracted the continuum?
Yeah, off of the iron line, see if this height really was varying independently.
Yeah.
Okay. Figured.
Yeah, Yes, different. Yes, but I mean the tempo is very small for us in our case. What I found, I haven't shown yet, but for our temple, it seems that this bimodality is also present in the jet power. So when you have a weak accretion disk, you have a weak jet and vice versa. But if you consider other sources, like for example the low hesitation galaxy presented by the 4.1 in this morning, this bimodality is not true anymore. No. I simply calculated the adding ratio, the volumetric luminosity over the adding zone. Yes, that is, yes. That's the question. I mean, this is the simplest way to calculate and to have just an idea. Then, also because the volumetric luminosity is estimated considering in particular the blue bump if you have the optical band. Then we have to check other ways, but this is the simplest way.